The discovery of truth is prevented more effectively not by the false appearance of things present and which mislead into error, not directly by weakness of the reasoning powers, but by the preconceived opinion, by prejudice. And this week's opening quote comes from Arthur Schopenhauer. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. When we are born, the world simply presents itself to us. And yet, how many people go through life with a preconceived notion, a preconceived opinion of what the world is and of what they are? And when you look at it, you begin to see the reality is that this is how our life begins, whether we wish to admit it or not. In fact, all of us do it. All of us are born into this type of reality where we are subject to the opinions of others and we are subject to ideas which do not belong to us, which are given to us to explain the world that we live in. We then go about basing our perspective of reality on these ideas and these perspectives that are given to us, and very often espousing these ideas to others. And very often we don't even realize that we're doing this. It's just part of normal conversation. It's just how we live our lives. It's just a default action based on what we believe reality is. But again, these are ideas that are put into our minds from other people and not things that we've investigated or looked at ourselves. And very often the people who are putting these ideas into our minds have not themselves actually investigated these concepts to discover where these ideas and these beliefs are coming from, let alone whether any of them are actually true. In fact, people's entire concept of the world, of reality, of society, of everything, is simply a meme. It's just an idea which is passed on from generation to generation based on the belief system of those who came before. And generally, nobody really bothers to investigate, or if they do investigate, they simply go to a book and see what it says in the book to see if it confirms what the people who told them whatever it is they believed said. And generally it does, and so they leave it at that, and they don't look any further. And this is generally the way our society functions, and generally the way human intellect functions within this society. People just don't look at things for themselves. Not at the deepest level, anyway. They just tend to simply take things at face value. And this is most especially so in the case of a child, but it's also generally so in the case of many adults within the world today. They just take the world, they take reality at face value. If they have any questions, they turn to the science books or the academic institutions. If it's current affairs or news thereafter, well, they turn to their trusted mainstream media. And people just tend to believe what they are told is true. And that's what they base everything on from that point. And then they move forward basing their whole world on this foundation. But what if the foundation is erroneous? And the question is, how many people actually ask themselves where their ideas and beliefs come from? And whether they're actually their own, or whether they're things that have been put into their minds by other people? Because again, this is what happens to us from the moment of birth. We are quite literally bombarded by the belief systems and opinions of others. And again, this is an ongoing process that happens right from the moment of birth. And don't even get me started about being born in hospitals and the trauma that that induces. But simply by the fact that since the moment of birth, we are immediately subject to the influence of people who are already programmed into this system. That's the perspective that we've got. That's the reality that we're born into. And so that's what we think reality is. And we live our lives accordingly. But again, these ideas are not ours. These ideas, these belief systems are generally not the result of personal interaction and logical deduction. They are not the result of a young child being born into reality and allowing reality to unfold before it. And for the child to learn how to express themselves within that reality and communicate and live within that reality, we're taught to function within the social system that we're born within, which is generally separate from the world around it. And so we generally follow the path that's laid out for us by others because we're following the beliefs and concepts that have been instilled into us by others. And this is far separate from the concept of parents simply teaching their children, as would be normal in a normal family situation in any environment. It's the other subtle influences that aren't anything to do with life skills. These are influences regarding social interaction, political perspective, religious perspective, scientific perspective, and generally what's been instilled into them through the academic systems and all the influences they've had in their lives, which in turn are placed into us. So we live our lives in the beginning according to pathways that are put there for us to step onto, irrespective of the truth or the soul that is contained within these pathways. You know, these ideas come from our parents, from our siblings, from those who most closely influence us in our surrounding circles when we're born. Mainly families, close friends, and the media that we are subject to. Television plays a big role, especially in the modern world. And yet, when we're born, the world simply presents itself to us for us to make of it what we will. Now, when I was born and when I was a very small child, the world was a wondrous place to me. It really was. I'm very fortunate in as much as I can remember a great deal about my childhood. I have very, very early childhood memories. I can remember things that happened before I could walk. I can remember instances when I was a toddler, certain events that happened. I mean, I can't remember the entire thing every day like some coherent chronological story. And even some of the things I remember, it's hard to put them into a time frame of which came first or which came later with some of the very early memories. But still, I have extremely long memories going back to when I was a very, very small child. And the world was an incredible place. And I felt amazing. I felt special. I felt like I had this incredible power within me. And I think that all children feel this. I really do. And I think that if you look back in your life, you will remember a time when you just felt like you were capable of anything. You felt like Superman. You felt like you had the whole power of the universe inside you. Sometime when you were a very, very small child. I think all kids feel like this. I certainly did when I was a child anyway. During the course of my childhood, these feelings were squashed by the education system, by peer group pressure, you know, the need to want to fit in with everybody else and do what everybody else is doing, even when you get information. You want information from the right sources. You want to know what's going on. You don't want to be stupid and left behind. You want to be up to date with what other people are talking about, even when you're a child. And so you kind of get pressured into reading the right stories and reading the right books and watching the right television shows to get the type of information that you think is valid information that you can base your perception of reality on so you can be an informed person. But how much of it is borrowed? How much of it is stuff that we actually experience for ourselves? And how much of it is put there to train us what to think and to create the perception within our minds of what this reality is and to influence what we perceive ourselves to be? You know, and you think about this control grid. Think about the power that government holds over you, the power that government holds over everybody in the world, and ask yourself how much of this power is determined by your belief in authority and your belief of where you stand in the social food chain according to the parameters that society has put there for you to judge this self-worth by. And also, in putting it within the context of this system, you need to ask yourself where your respect for authority comes from and what is the authority itself that you are being asked to respect. Is this authority a moral, wholesome, and just authority that is worthy of your respect? And I'd like you to really step back and think about that. I mean, if mankind were living in cooperative societies and left to their own devices, would we ever come up with a system such as the one we now have? What purpose would it serve? How is this a natural progression in a progressive cooperative society working for the betterment of mankind, which is generally what you would expect a society to do, why you would even have a society? You know, this entire society is designed to remove people of their personal value and to lock them within a tightly controlled system where they don't really know what's going on. And again, the entire thing exists only because people believe the system is real and they believe authority is real due to this lack of worth. This lack of the ability to ever really be able to express themselves in the way they were created to do. And this is the type of perspective I was alluding to on last week's radio show when I talked about the fact that the system only exists in your head, within your mind. Authority only exists within your mind. People took a lot of offense to that. A lot of people did say, well, no, there's guns and police outside, so the system definitely does not exist just in my head. The thing is, it exists in your head because it also exists in their heads. You know, the people around you, the ones who are programmed into this reality, it's like a case of collective hypnosis, most especially exemplified in those who work within the system. You know, the order followers, these people are one of the biggest problems we face because their programming is so thick. Just the fact that they would join the police or the military or put themselves in a position where they're following orders from someone else and operating outside their moral compass on a daily basis, believing they have no choice in the matter. I mean, this is literally a form of mental illness, folks, this profound belief in the authority of others and the worth of others. But really what it is a loss of worth of the self. Because why would you ever put yourself in a position where you're hurting other people because someone else told you to? How could you have so little value for yourself and your own soul and your own karma? How can you be committing acts and atrocities against people, really messing up people's lives because someone gives you the order to do so and thinking you have no choice in the matter? That is a real problem. But again, this happens because of this perspective that people have. This belief in authority, this fictional meme that is going on in their heads. You know, the whole system only exists in the minds of the people, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when you can step outside of that yourself and see your own self-worth and start forming your own ideas about what reality is and your own ideas about what you are based on your own interaction with reality, then you start to see things a little different. And you really do begin to see how easy it would be to step outside of this control grid if people would simply wake up to themselves. And I mean that quite literally, wake up to themselves, the fact that this whole system exists due to a loss of self, as I've shared with you so many times. But this is the perspective I was attempting to share last week when I said the matrix only exists in your mind. And as I said, a lot of people took offense to that because they thought, well, how am I going to step outside of the system by simply believing it's not there? It's not that. I mean, it's a lot deeper than that. Like I said, it's the fact that it exists in everybody's minds and the order followers are stuck in this trap. And most everybody is stuck in traps, folks. With all of the control mechanisms that are in place right across the earth, people are stuck in traps, stuck in their belief systems, stuck in situations they don't want to be in. Most of the people in the military are stuck in these situations they don't want to be in. People are stuck in living situations they don't want to be in, stuck in political situations they don't want to be in, stuck in a cycle of work that they can't seem to get out of. It's just round and round the same circle just to pay the bills, never getting your head above water. And again, all due to the belief in authority, the belief in this system, usually it's the belief systems that have got people stuck in these situations because they're too scared to throw themselves to the wind and see what happens. It happens to people all around the world, folks. They're just stuck in their belief systems. Same with the Israeli-Palestine situation. People are stuck in this trap, stuck in these belief systems. You know, for all of my outspoken narrative against the state of Israel, a lot of the people in Israel don't know what's going on. A lot of the people in Israel don't like their government. They don't like the state of Israel. But again, they don't know what's going on because they're programmed into their own belief system. And they can only judge reality by what they are presented with. Same as the people in Palestine. Same as the people in any country, in any culture. You can only judge reality by what you are given to perceive reality to be, what information you've had access to, regardless of how good or bad you may be. If you haven't got access to the real information, then how are you ever going to be able to form a real opinion and know what's really going on? And how can you be someone who's expected not to make mistakes? How can anybody be expected not to make mistakes in this environment that we're forced to endure. And why would anyone want to not make mistakes anyway? I mean, mistakes is how we learn. That's what we do, folks. We're born into a world so we can make mistakes, because that's how we learn what life's about. If you didn't make mistakes, you'd never learn anything. That's the thing. That's how we learn, yet we're so ashamed of ever making any mistakes, and we don't want to admit our mistakes. And if you don't admit your mistakes, then how do you learn from them and move on and actually learn how to do something properly? It's kind of a paradoxical thought wave we're stuck in with that one. But of course, a lot of that is due to peer group pressure as well, and a lot of it is due to online peer group pressure. You cannot make a mistake online, folks. If you make a mistake online, you'll get hacked down forever for it and be treated like a lesser person. Most especially if you're a truther, if you do sort of the things that I do, like if you do these radio shows. If I make a mistake on the radio shows, I get picked up by so many people who criticize me and attack me because I got one little point wrong. People will micro-analyze everything you say, and they will look for one sentence where you messed up, and then they will fling that at you. And yet, that is how you learn, by making mistakes. And why would people do that? Because, I mean, they make mistakes in their lives. People who do that, you'll find, are the ones who don't like to admit their own mistakes. But you've got to admit your mistakes, folks, and you've got to learn by these mistakes, because that's what living is. That's what life is about. That's how the learning process goes. And I make mistakes. I quite often make mistakes. You know, you can't always get everything right, folks, especially when you're just doing radio shows such as this one, where it's just random philosophical thought flows and seeing where they end up. But you've got to be able to appreciate the mistakes you make and appreciate the mistakes that others make. There's no problem with people making mistakes, folks. It's when they don't admit their mistakes that there's a problem. But getting back on topic, when you can really step back and see how people are caught in these traps and caught in these belief systems, you really start to see things a little clearer. One of the big problems that we have is that people simply love to hate, and they want someone to hate. They want someone or something to point the finger at, to hate collectively, so we can all blame them and feel better about ourselves. This is why Israel gets so much flack, or why the people of Israel get so much flack, due to the actions of their government. And I don't have a problem with most of the people of Israel. Most of the people of Israel are programmed into their belief system, which is why they do what they do, which is a result of the actions of their government. And you find that most people in whatever country you are criticizing are in the state that they're in due to the belief systems they've adopted, which is a result of the programming they've received from those who run the country. It happens in all countries. And really, if you took people from any country, from any culture, and you removed them and stripped them of their culture and their nationality and their belief systems, and took them as a small child and simply put them in a place and let them grow up together, you'd probably find that none of these kids would have any problem with each other whatsoever. And in fact, all the problems that we see in the world today are the result of the programming that the people within those cultures have received from within their respective cultures. The programming that has set them apart from others that may look different or believe different things from them, but most importantly, the programming that has trained them to have this mistaken belief in authority, which is a complete fiction. You know, as I've said so many times on air, all the world is a stage, and there is so much going on which is simply theatre for the masses to keep us distracted and to prevent us from ever noticing that the world is being destroyed around us, and the human race is in a lot of trouble, ladies and gentlemen. And we're in a lot of trouble because we're not paying attention to our immediate surroundings. I mean, we're looking at all of this stuff that's going on. We think, when we say we're in a lot of trouble, we look at the world and go, oh, yeah, we can see that because of all these wars and all this bombing and all this famine and all this sort of stuff. We're not looking at the deeper issues. All of these wars and all of this famine and all this stuff that we're seeing unfolding in the world around us is being contrived to keep us worried about that and to prevent us from ever looking internally at what we could do to prevent what is happening externally. You know, and again, it all comes down to this belief in authority, our willingness to walk between the lines and not reach out to those around us and help those around us. Now, the Palestinians and the Israelis, if these people grew up together, there wouldn't be a problem with them. The only problem is the government. It's the same with any people on the streets in LA or in New York or anybody in any country. Any people, neighbours that you're having a problem with, it's only due to programming. You know, but we could reach out to people and we could heal the world very, very quickly if we could just get rid of this belief in the system and this need to hate anybody who thinks different, the need to hate the system even. You know, I don't hate the system. The system is just a meme. It's just an idea. I don't hate the government. A lot of the people in the government are programmed to do what they do. They just don't have a clue about reality at all. They only know how to look at the world from an economic or political perspective. Half of them got into that profession anyway simply because they're greedy sociopaths who want to control other people and make lots of money while they do it. So that's not a good starting point anyway. So you're not going to find any remedy from that. But at the same time, there's no good hating it because that doesn't achieve anything. And the system is a meme. It's an idea. It's a fiction. It's just something that we made up. And everyone's looking at the state of hardship that they're in, and they're watching all of this political theatre, and they're seeing all these politicians posturing against each other and all of this stuff happening and all these chess pieces being moved around, thinking it's actually going to change things in their own personal lives, but it's not, because they're not applying themselves to their own personal lives. Unless it's, going and working and getting money to pay the rent. But that's not really any type of spiritual application of yourself to your life. That's an economic application of yourself to your life. And again, this happens because people are caught in the trap. But if people were supportive of each other in their community, they wouldn't be in such of an economic trap. Now, if people were helping each other feed each other, putting in community gardens, doing all the stuff that I've been suggesting for 10 years, imagine if people had put in community gardens in all these suburbs and all these countries 10 years ago when I suggested it, the type of garden you would have there now. A local community garden here in Mullumbimby has just celebrated its 10th anniversary, and this garden, after being there for 10 years, is a phenomenal food source for the local community, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. It's been a massive success, and every community could have this. I mean, look what they did in Cuba when they put sanctions against Cuba. Cuba just basically turned the whole place into a food forest and said, well, we don't need the West, we don't need your rules, we'll do it our way. And they did it. And we could be doing this in all of our communities. We don't do it because we are afraid of the repercussions that we'll get from the local authorities, the local council, local police or whatever. Again, because we try to do it on our own. We haven't linked up with the people around us. You know, so many homeless people in LA. I'm sure these people would love to be involved in a community garden. What if there was a park somewhere in LA where you just turned it into a food forest and got all the homeless people to come and work it? They'd have all the food they needed, and they'd have some respect for themselves again. They'd have some dignity in themselves and some dignity in their lives. They get to know each other. They get to know people. You'd get to know them, and you get to find that a lot of these homeless people are decent people. You know, we find a lot of the homeless people in a lot of these big cities are some of the more creative and artistic people in society. These are people who simply can't survive in the world by exploiting others and walking between the lines that the system gives them. These are the people who are discarded the most and discarded first. It's always the way, folks. And we could reach out to these people and do things in our own way if we just had the support of the people around us. We don't have that support because we don't reach out to them. And if we do reach out to them, we do it in a political correct manner. We don't really call things for what they are. And we tend to judge other people by what they look like or by the belief systems that they have. And we don't really step back and look at it and realize that these belief systems are the result of programming. And you even judging them for having that belief system is a result of your own programming. Now, it's very easy for us to point out these differences and these flaws in others, but very often we don't look to ourselves and look at our own programming of what causes us to lash out at people the way we do. This is something I have to constantly do, folks. I constantly have to reevaluate my own emotional state, reevaluate my own motivations in what I'm doing. Look at what my deeper intentions are. Start asking myself if I'm getting a stake in any outcomes. And a lot of people ask me about that as well. What do you mean by having no stake in the outcome? How did you manage to have no stake in the outcome of what you do? And it's by realizing that this life is simply a temporary existence, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a experience that you're having. And you can't take any of it with you. All you can take with you is the information that you gather along the way. And that is what it's about. It's about the information. It's about the journey. You know, we're constantly looking for this place of enlightenment, this place that we think we're going to get to. But again, it's about the journey to that place, the journey to Ixalan, as it was said by Carlos Castaneda, the journey to that mythical place that you think you're going to, that you never get to. And what it is the journey of life. And that place that you get to eventually is yourself. And that is what it's all about. You know, all the stuff that comes to you, all the information that comes to you, it's really about what you do with it. You can sit there and get angry about it. You can get angry at the situation of the world. You can sit there and shake your fist at the government, shake your fist at society, shake your fist at the warmongers, shake your fist at all these starving millions in Yemen and all this stuff that's going on. But that's not going to do anything, because all the healing comes from within you. You know, we could withdraw our support from the system that is carrying out these atrocities in a single day. The question is, why don't we do that? Why do we continue to just shake our fist at these things and yet continue to operate outside our moral compass in most of the actions that we perform every day, most especially if we're operating within the business or the economic world? And it's a hard thing for people to come to terms with, because people need money to survive. They don't realize that it's that economic system, it's the economic worth that we put on everything, every moment of every day, which is the cause of all of the problems. It's the economic system which is creating the scarcity that the world now finds itself in. It's the economic system which creates the need to tear the world apart the way we're doing. Without the economic system, we would not be in any of the situation that we're in. And it's a difficult one to broach, again, because people believe they need money to survive simply because people don't know how to survive any other way. They can't imagine a world that could exist without money because they've forgotten how to support each other. The sad part is that what they've really forgotten is that they've forgotten how to give and they've forgotten how to receive. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder how long before I'll get in trouble for saying that. I suppose it's politically incorrect for me to say that now, especially if you're listening to the show in Canada. I believe those words aren't in use anymore. It'd be interesting if they actually name the 32 genders that they believe we have now. Then I'll be able to say, welcome back, and rattle off 32 different types of human. That would be interesting. While I'm on the topic, they seem to be taking this to an entirely new level in Tasmania as well, where they're even talking about removing genders from birth certificates. So that should provide a nice identity crisis for any children being born into the world. Anyway, getting back to the show. Thinking of this journey that we're on and everything we're facing with this system as being a spiritual battle really does provide an entire new motivation in people. It provides an entirely new way you can look at things, and it's actually a very empowering way to look at things if you can adopt that perspective. Simply because by adopting this perspective, you begin to see that everything that we're facing in the world today really comes down to a matter of personal choice. You know, we constantly choose to comply with our own slavery. We constantly choose to comply with a system which is inherently corrupt and does not have our best interests at heart. And we do it every day on so many little levels, and were we to stop doing that, the system would fall apart very, very quickly. And people don't do it because they're scared of stepping outside of the box and what other people may think about them, but really what you find is that there's a lot of people walking around within society who really do want to do the same thing. They're kind of walking around in these shells, in these bodies, and they're peering out their eyes, looking around, wondering if anyone else is thinking the way they do, and wondering who's going to step outside the lines so they can step outside of those lines with them. They just want inspiration from somebody else because they're often too scared to stand up in their own personal power themselves. They're too scared to poke their head up in case they get knocked on the head, you know, the way they like to tear the tall poppies down, and no one wants to be the one who puts his head up, calls the system out, and gets their head cut off. But folks, it gets to a point where you realize that there is no stake in the outcome of this existence that you have. The one thing that is certain to happen to you during this existence is that you're going to die in some way, shape, or form. You're going to leave this world eventually. And what matters, what's important, is what you do with the time that is allotted to you while you're here. But most people have this overwhelming fear of death, which prevents them from ever moving forward in their life. And that may be a weird thing for people to look at, but it's true. I mean, even with speaking out against this system, most people don't do it because of a fear of death. Most people don't stand up for themselves because of a fear of death. Most people don't throw themselves to the wind ultimately because of a fear of death. You know, the fear of poverty, the fear of scarcity, the fear of being put in a situation where you won't be able to look after yourself and you'll die. The fear of speaking out, you might get caught out, the police may come for you, they'll put you in a jail and you'll die, or they'll beat you up and you'll die, whatever. It always comes down to a fear of death. This is what prevents us from really moving forward in our life. And it's like getting on a roller coaster and being totally afraid of the end of the roller coaster ride. People approach life in this manner. You know, they get on the roller coaster and they go, oh my God, this ride is going to end one day. And they live totally in fear of the ride ending while they're on the ride. So they don't enjoy the ride and they miss out on the ride because they're so scared of what's going to happen at the end of it. And it's just no way to live a life. It's no way to gather information. And it is an essential part of the control grid because it is that underlying fear that keeps you running on the treadmill, keeps you collecting all this stuff that you think is going to make you happy and make you secure in your life. But how is any of it making you secure in your life? Because this life is just a temporary experience. You're just here to experience the uniqueness of you and the beauty of you, the creative potential of you, and to learn from the interaction that you have with other people, all who are essentially you as well, if you really want to get deep and look at it that way. That might be a little esoteric for some people. You know, years ago when I put out the film The Awakening, I was attempting to share this concept with people, the concept that we all come from a single consciousness, that each person here is simply a thought in the mind of God. You know, if you were God and you wanted to experience yourself, how would you go about it? Well, you'd have to create a reality, something like this. And you'd have to enter that reality in a state of amnesia, otherwise you would know what the outcome was, and there would be no learning experience. There would be no discovery that could ever be achieved if you didn't have amnesia when you came to this world. But thinking of everybody in Lakesh as being simply a thought in the mind of God, each a reflection of a single consciousness, and seeing that everybody has their own unique perspective and their own unique personal value, that each person matters, it's a very, very empowering way to look at things. Now, when we look at the judgment that we have of others, the judgment that we have of people of other races, other classes, other creeds, other cultures, other religions, other belief systems, whatever, all of these things are constructs. All these things are simply different programs, different levels of software that have been installed within each different frequency of this single consciousness, so that each frequency can have a unique perspective. Perhaps if we can debate every perspective out and discuss every perspective, perhaps we'll find something absolutely amazing at the end of the discussion. That's when we lock ourselves into these perspectives and lock ourselves into these ideas that we have, these belief systems that we have, and we say, this is, and I know, and none of you do, I am the only one who knows, then we immediately create friction, we immediately create division, and we immediately lock ourselves off from any higher understandings that we may have been able to achieve. Now, people who say, I have the answers, I don't speculate on anything, I know what this reality is, these are people who are usually the most closed-minded of anybody. Because in a world of 7 billion people, each who comes from a single consciousness, each who has a valid perspective of reality, even given the limited amount of information many people may have, there is no one person that can know all the answers, and there's no one person who should be ignored, whose perspective should not be listened to and acknowledged as being valid. But of course, the problem you get even with adopting this type of attitude and attempting to afford this type of respect to people is the sobering reality that most of the perspectives that people have are not their own. They're perspectives that have been programmed into them by others through the education or academic systems, perspectives that they've got from books, from religious or spiritual books that they may have read, and very few of them are perspectives that they have come to themselves through self-realization and through events that have happened on their own journey through life. You know, when I began this quest 10 years ago, when I began speaking out on air and doing what I could to wake the world up online, the motivation for me the whole time was to provide a perspective for people that hopefully would empower them into the rediscovery of themselves. And that has been the purpose of every single radio show that I've done. This is why, I mean, sometimes it may seem like I'm bringing news to you. I mean, very often I'll be talking about current events and things that are going on in the world, but even when I do that, I'm doing it to attempt to provide a spiritual kind of an overview to the situation. Because it's that inner knowing of the power that we have that motivates me. And knowing the power that I have within myself and what I've been able to achieve during my life simply by being true to myself is incredibly inspirational, and wanting to share that with others is the motivation in what I do, because were other people to feel that self-empowerment in themselves and be willing and capable of standing in their own light and standing and shining their own light, we could change the world. We really could. You know, I've always lived on the outside of society, and I've gotten away with it. And if everybody lived on the outside of society, the society that we have now wouldn't exist. It couldn't exist in its current form. It would be more like a Vedic culture, more like a cooperative, giving type of society. You know, and I see so much potential for us. And I see how limited we are by the social constructs that we're forced to endure. And I use that word in no uncertain terms, because this life in these cities, in these countries, in this political economic situation is something that we have to endure. It's not a life of pleasure. It's not a life of leisure. It's not a life of growing. It's a life of struggle, and it's created to be that way purposefully. You know, when you begin to see that it's all been purposeful, how it's been created, and you see this and you see what it is, you kind of have a bit of a moral responsibility to stand up and speak the truth about it. You know, once you know what the world is, you kind of have a responsibility to help inform others of the situation that they're in. And that's always been my motivation in what I've done. So whatever you think of me out there, I mean, I do get still a lot of attacks from Christians because I don't think the way they do, and many of them are incredibly toxic individuals. I mean, they really are. They're a far cry from what it would really mean to be a Christian. And many of them are incredibly fearful and afraid of anybody thinking outside this little box they've constructed for themselves. It's really quite shocking. But whatever you happen to think of me, I mean, all I'm ever doing on these radio shows is offering you a perspective. I'm not saying any of what I'm saying is the gospel truth. I don't know, because who knows what the real truth is? All I know is the information that I've got and the perspective that I've been able to gather from looking at this information and pulling at the threads and seeing where the threads leave and offering the most viable perspective I can find in the hope of empowering you, the listener, into viewing things a little bit differently and not viewing yourself as someone who needs to be controlled, someone who needs to live your life as a slave. Yeah, there's nobody on this earth who has the right of ownership over anybody else. There's nobody on earth who has the right to dictate what others can or cannot do. You know, if what people are doing does not hurt or affect other people, or hurt or affect adversely the world that we live on, then there's no problem in them doing whatever they want to do, whatever they need to do for their growth, whatever they need to do to find themselves. Even if that means embracing the shadow side of themselves a little while, you've got to do it, folks. You know, we tend to really lash out at people who are finding their way through the shadow. A lot of young artists, you know, people that are 20s, 24, 25 years old who might be doing artwork which may look really dark. I remember when I was back in 24, 25 years old, I was doing some pretty dark artwork. I was playing some pretty dark music. I was into a lot of really dark stuff because I was exploring the shadow side of myself. At that age in life, it is very, very attractive for people. It's kind of like a form of rebellion to go into that shadow world and to become part of that shadow world and see what's there. It's some form of escapism from this society that many people go through. And it's okay for kids to do that. It's okay for young people to go through that. You shouldn't judge them as being bad simply because they're exploring their shadow side. Because many people come through it with flying colors. Many people come through it much, much better for the experience and much more knowledgeable about themselves and with much more understanding and compassion towards others because they can understand how the shadow works within them and so they can see how the shadow works within others. And when you see people overtaken by the shadow, very often they're lost. Very often they're not bad people. I mean, I don't believe that anybody is born inherently bad. Unless you're born a psychopath and have a different brain function to other people, and this does happen. But I think most people are born as good people, but they can easily get trapped within that shadow world, and this society does a hell of a lot to promote that type of shadow world in people. It promotes it as being very attractive. And when you're trapped in this system, as most people are, sometimes it becomes a very easy means of escape for people. So don't be too hard on people that you see embracing their dark side. Just accept them for what they are and watch them and see how they come through because you're going to find that many of these people come through and turn into very, very good people simply because they've had the courage to go and embrace that side of themselves to begin with. And you find many people who don't embrace that side, it's those who say that that side of themselves doesn't exist. Are the people that you find you have real problems with, people who are so locked into their belief system and so locked into their religious or academic concepts of themselves that they refuse to admit that they even have a shadow side. And so all it does is grow within them and they end up inflicting it on other people. But even people who do this type of thing, you know, it's important to forgive people. It's important to learn forgiveness within yourself. You know, I forgive people. I forgive everybody who's ever done me wrong. Because many people don't know how to find their way through this world. They don't know how to find their way through this reality. And they get locked into little belief systems they've got about themselves. Many people have a sense of worth, which may be a little overinflated. And they go astray, and they use other people, they do the wrong thing, and they get caught up in it. But many of them have the best of intentions when they begin. Many of them have good hearts all the same. You know, I don't believe anybody who isn't born a psychopath is completely lost. I really don't. I think everybody is worthy of forgiveness. And it's really important for you as well. It's really important for individuals out there to know how to forgive people and to be capable of forgiving people. You know, if you're not capable of putting stuff down and wiping the slate clean and truly forgiving someone, then perhaps you have a little bit of growth and a little bit of work you need to do on the inside as well. You know, it's all very well to be wary of people, once bitten, twice shy, to not forget the past. But you can forgive people for the transgressions that they've made because people do change. I say a leopard never changes its spots, but it's not really true, folks. Sometimes people get caught up in the system. They get caught up in this shadow world. They overstep the mark and they paint themselves into a corner that they don't know how they can get out of. Sometimes they don't have the courage to get out of the corner. They don't have the courage to stand up and face the reality of themselves. And to simply lay themselves bare before the world and ask for forgiveness. And the reason they don't do this is because very often they don't get it, because the people in society don't want to forgive. They want an eye for an eye. They want a tooth for a tooth. And if you really look, you'll find that most people who feel this way, it's very often because they've never embraced the shadow side of themselves and they don't know what it's like to be lost. Now, anybody who's ever been lost can appreciate the joy of being found and what that can do to someone when applied to a spiritual perspective as well. You know, and gaining forgiveness from someone is much akin to being found in the wilderness. And really, if you are willing to think about it and think about it properly and honestly, when you're in a position where you can offer forgiveness to someone and you don't, what is the motivation in that? Because really, if you look deep enough within yourself, you're going to find that it's ego. You're going to find that it's your sense of power that you get through not forgiving them. The sense of superiority you feel by letting this person grovel. And then when you do forgive them, if you do, very often it's done conditionally. Yeah, I'll forgive you, but you need to prove yourself because you owe me now. And that's not forgiveness, folks. That's ego. And it's a very, very spiritually empowering thing for you to do, to put all that down and to just put it all away and realize that this person messed up. And that's okay, because everybody messes up at some stage in their life to a greater or lesser degree. It happens. Most people tend to go wrong at some stage during their life to a greater or lesser degree. It's what differentiates us from animals, what makes us different from the other creatures that inhabit this world. You know, the sentience that we have and the power of speech that we have gives us a greater potential than all other life forms on this earth, but it also creates a greater vulnerability to imbalance. And so most people tend to go off balance at some stage during their life. It's just that some people go off balance to a greater degree than other people. But many of these people are very worthwhile people, and were they to receive forgiveness, you'd find that these people may well become powerhouses and dynamos in your community and really work to inspire others simply due to the empowerment they've received from being forgiven. The empowerment they've received from being that close to spiritual death when they were suddenly found wandering lost in the wilderness. And you can do that. You have the capability of giving that type of a gift, not only to the person that you're forgiving, but also to the society at large and also to yourself. You have an opportunity to create that type of spiritual growth for yourself by simply allowing yourself to open your heart to someone who went wrong and had the courage and the wherewithal to admit that fact. Now, forgiveness is truly a wonderful thing, and it's a very difficult thing for a lot of people to do. It's a very difficult hurdle for people to overcome. People don't ever see it as something personal within themselves. They see themselves as being the victim from whoever did the wrong against them, and that person is kind of getting the upper hand on them if you forgive them for their transgression. They don't see the personal growth that comes with it. They don't see the deflation of ego that comes with it, the loss of self-importance that comes with it. They don't put themselves in a position where they're in the person's shoes and they're the ones needing forgiveness, which may well happen at one stage, because we all go off balance at some stage. But there's a real lesson in it, and there's a real growth in it, and really it's one of the big problems that we've got in the world today. That's why we're given so many people to point the finger at, so many people to blame, so many people to hate, and there's so many people who, as I said earlier, simply love to hate, because it's what keeps them going. It's what gives them that energy that they need to get through the day. And that's a really bizarre concept to think about. But the energy that you can get through forgiving someone is far more powerful than the energy you can get from hating someone. And perhaps that's something to think about as well. And I'm not saying, look, we need to just turn a blind eye to all the damage and all the corruption that our world leaders have done and suddenly forgive everybody and all sit around singing kumbaya around a campfire. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about allowing criminals to get away with the crimes they commit, but it's just what is your motivation in even wanting to bring these people down? You know, what's your motivation in anything you do? It's like my motivation for doing these radio shows. I speak out about Hillary Clinton all the time. I speak out about Israel all the time. I don't do it because I hate Hillary Clinton or I hate Israel. I do it because it needs to be done. I can forgive Hillary Clinton. I can forgive the state of Israel for what it's done. Like I said earlier, it's not really the state of Israel. It's the government of Israel. It's those who control the mechanism. And it's like that with everything. You know, but I can forgive people for what they've done. Not a problem. Because most people do what they do because they're programmed to do it. Most people don't have the faintest idea of what reality really is. Most people are born into this system and they grow up thinking the system is real. And it's all due to the programming that they receive throughout their lives. You know, they never really get the chance to be themselves and return to that empowered little individual that they were when they were a child. You know, if you can get back to that and remember what it was like to be that small and to be in a state of wonder at the world and bring that back to your life now, bring that understanding back, that feeling back that you had when you were a kid, now all of this mess will go away. You know, so many people waste their time fighting against that which is external to themselves, and they don't realize that if they were to simply change that which is in their heart, the whole world would have to change around them. You know, we don't even need to build a new system. We don't need to change anything except that which is in our hearts. We don't need to change anything we do except how we apply ourselves to the people around us and how we apply ourselves to the world that we live in. That's just something that we don't really think about. You know, we're nice, we're congenial, we're amicable when we get along with people. But we continue to profit from others. We continue to exploit others. We do it because we believe it's good business sense. We do it because we believe it's the only way we can get through the world, is to treat the people around us as some sort of commodity. Even though we want to respect them, very often we only really want to respect them on our terms. And when you have everybody doing that, well, it's very easy to see how we have collectively managed to paint ourselves into the corner that we currently find ourselves in. And I think if people can just step back a little bit and look at it, perhaps people will see that the solution has been right under their nose the whole time, and perhaps they will consider just how easy it would be to implement the solution and to change the world. All we have to do is really want to and to just do it. The problem is really that the solution is so incredibly simple that most people simply don't believe it. But once again, we have reached that time of the day where it is now the end of the show. Bit of an esoteric show for you today. No political talk, no talk of 5G, just spiritual and inner understandings. I just thought it was necessary to address these issues. And I've actually had a few requests from people to discuss some spiritual topics as well. So I thought I would just go down that little pathway and see where it led. And I hope you got something from it. Just to remind you, I will be speaking at Anacapulco in February. You'll find a banner to that on my website, thecrowhouse.com. If you go there and you click that banner and you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll find that you'll get yourself a discount on that purchase. And I'll look forward to seeing anybody who can make the event there. It is really going to be a great event, folks. I cannot stress that enough. They've rented out the entire Princess Palace Hotel. And we're going to have 3,000 anarchists all discussing reality with each other. It's going to be a really good thing to see. I'll also be doing a Hrape ceremony and possibly a Kambo workshop and another workshop besides, as well as the talk that I'll be doing. So that'll be three or four events that I'll be involved in while I'm there for the week. So I do urge you to come along to that, and I look forward to seeing those who do make it while I'm there. Thank you again to all those who send me so many kind emails. Sorry I don't get to answer all of them. I'm trying, folks. And thank you to all those who support me on Patreon and continue to support the show after so many years. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you people, and I really cannot thank you enough. But that is it for me, folks. I do hope you got something out of this week's show. I know it was a very different show, but sometimes we have to go back to these topics. I think it's beneficial for us to revisit ourselves from time to time and make sure everything's in order, spiritually speaking. But again, folks, that's it for me. I've run out of time completely, so I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. in Lakesh.